It is the tradition in the church to stand out of respect for the gospel, and so if you're able, please stand. The gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And when he sent messengers ahead of him, on their way, they entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" They turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, it's good to be in your temple, among your people, in the presence of your Spirit and your Word. Lord, we hear these words from your Son Jesus, and they're challenging. The invitation to follow him is urgent, and the instructions are specific and difficult. Lord, help us, with your help, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday night, as is my practice, I opened up a browser, I typed into my computer, United Methodist Lectionary Helps, and then I read the lessons, the scripture lessons that were prescribed for this day in the Christian calendar. And as I noticed that the gospel lesson for this Sunday was this lesson that you've just heard from the 9th chapter of Luke, this lesson which begins, "Jesus set his face for Jerusalem," I chuckled. Now, I didn't chuckle because Jesus had set his face, because that's very serious business, but I chuckled because I remembered a sermon I gave on this very lesson 6 years ago. The second year after I got here, this lesson came up, and it comes up every 3 years. So 6 years ago, you'll remember, many of you will, those of you who were here, because I think it might be the most memorable sermon I ever gave for this reason. When I said that Jesus had set his face for Jerusalem, as my illustration, I brought in my makeup kit from television. And yes, for those of you who don't know, most of you do know, we, yes, even the men, wear makeup on television. And so to make my point, to make my illustration about setting Jesus' face, I said, I too have to set my face for a newscast. And I went through and I showed all of the implements of my makeup kit and the procedure that I went through in order to get ready for a newscast. And I had more comments about that sermon than any sermon I have ever given. People still bring it up. And I learned a very important lesson as a very new preacher, only been into it a little bit more than a year at that time. Never make the illustration of the sermon more memorable than the sermon itself. I might have already done that again today. We'll see. But a very important lesson, because I'll tell you, I would have to go back and look to share what it was that I was trying to say that day. What was the theme of that sermon? What was the main point I was trying to make? I don't even remember, but I remember the response to me demonstrating how I set my face for a newscast. And so this morning, I'm going to enter this story in a little bit of a different angle, a little bit of a different way. You know, it is not easy to follow directions. We just don't have that kind of attention span. We just don't have that kind of commitment to see it through with so many distractions that are pulling us off course. I don't know about you. Most of you have probably had to try to put something together, a children's toy. Most recently in my memory, since Lisa has established a business and set up an office, I've been over there many times to put together a desk and put together a shelf, or to put together something that she could use in her office, and they all come in large boxes, and they all come with instructions, and of course I don't pay any attention to the instructions, and neither do you. The people who write those instructions realize that you don't pay any attention to those instructions, so they don't write instructions anymore. What they write is a booklet of cartoons. And so they illustrate their how to put something together by showing pictures of it, and we don't even pay attention to that. And so you just look at the things after you get them out of the box and you go, I think that probably goes together with that. And an hour and a half later, there's still a pile of stuff sitting there. But it eventually comes together. And of course, on the road, thank goodness for GPS systems, because especially men, we didn't know how to ask for traffic directions back in the day before the GPS, right? We would just be lost. We would just wander around. We couldn't stay with it. We couldn't concentrate on the directions. We would just wander all over the countryside, never admitting that we didn't know where we were going. We just don't have that kind of attention span, and with so many distractions pulling us off course. In today's gospel lesson today, we do see Jesus in a pivotal point in the gospel story. It takes a real turn right here. This is an important part of the story. Jesus, who's been teaching and preaching in Galilee, now sets his face for Jerusalem. He is on his way. The next 10 chapters are described as the travel document. This is the recording of the travels Jesus made on the way to Jerusalem. And he continued to teach, and he continued to preach, and he continued to heal, and he continued to cast out demons. But his focus, his direction, his compass was set on Jerusalem. His face was set on Jerusalem, where his destiny lay. And so Jesus had his instructions, and he determined and he focused on getting there. And so he sends a couple of disciples out ahead of him, and they go to the land of the Samaritans between Galilee and Jerusalem. And the Samaritans say, no thanks. We will not welcome Jesus. We're not interested in seeing your Jesus. And we could go into it. We're not going to, but there was a long history, hundreds of years of histories between the Jews and the Samaritans who shared the same God, but they had some big differences. The biggest difference can be seen most vividly in the parable of the Good Samaritan, which comes 2 weeks from today. What gives the parable of the Good Samaritan its bite is that for a Jew, there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. And so it was an amazing thing for Jesus to teach through that parable of the Good Samaritan to say, everybody that you would expect who would respond to a person in need passed him by. It was only the Samaritan who stopped, and Jesus said, that is your neighbor, even if he is a Samaritan. And that's why we call him the Good Samaritan, when most of the time Jews considered Samaritans, every last one of them, bad people. And so the Samaritan said to the disciples, we have no interest in seeing Jesus. And so, interestingly, things escalated very fast. James and John said to Jesus, okay, how about if we pray for fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Now, they weren't just making this up. You'll remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The sin of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, was inhospitality. They were inhospitable to those angels that visited that city, and so fire came down and destroyed that city. And so James and John remembered that, and they said, should we call down fire because these people aren't hospitable to Jesus? Jesus rebuked them. Jesus said, of course not. What we do and what we accomplish and where we're going will not include violence on our part. And as they go and they're moving toward Jerusalem, they're walking down that road, three people come up to Jesus. And the first one comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, I will follow. I will follow. And Jesus says, are you sure? You want to go with us? Yeah, I'm sure I want to go. Jesus says, yes, right down the road here. We're going to stop at the Ritz-Carlton, stay the night. Did he? No. He didn't say that. He didn't say we're going to stay at the Ritz-Carlton. He didn't say we're going to stay at the Holiday Inn. He didn't say that we're going to stay at the Super 8. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. If you're going to follow me, you're welcome to follow me, but you better count the costs. I'm homeless. I don't have a place to lay my head. Did that man follow? We don't know. Another came, and Jesus said, follow me. And this one said, Lord, first, let me go bury my father. Now, probably what was happening there was his father wasn't dead. His father wasn't sick. His father wasn't near death. But this man wanted to go ahead and take care of family matters. He's willing to follow, but he had family obligations that he wanted to see to before he followed. And Jesus said, No, Jesus said, now is the time. In the Greek language, there are two words for time. One is chronos, which is the way we keep time on our watches. The other is kairos. And kairos means the moment of action. A moment for action. A pregnant moment ready to deliver some kind of action. And they don't come all that often. And Jesus is saying, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Time is short. This moment is pregnant. Now is the time to act. This is kairos time. Did that person who called Jesus Lord follow? We don't know. Finally, another came and said, I will follow, Lord, but let me say farewell. First, let me say farewell to my family. And Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm going, Jesus says in effect, I'm going in a forward direction. I'm not going back. I am going in a forward direction, and we can't get where I'm going, and we're going to Jerusalem. We can't get there by turning around and going back and looking back. This person who called Jesus, Lord, did he follow? We don't know. It is not easy to follow directions. We just don't have that kind of attention. We don't have that kind of commitment. We have so many distractions, good distractions, important things to do that pull us off course. Something happened last week that gave me a real aha moment. As I was considering and reflecting on Lisa and our vacation to Los Angeles to visit my daughter Erin and her husband Ken, and then going out to Hawaii, as I was reflecting on all of that, and as I was reflecting on this sermon today, I got this aha moment that brought it all home to me in terms of how difficult it is for us to follow directions. We did a lot of fun things in Hawaii. The first thing we did, the first day we were there, might have been the most memorable thing we did. Might have been the most fun thing we did. We did the road to Hana. Benny Johnson suggested that we do it, and then after Benny suggested it, many of the other people who've been to Hawaii said, you've got to do the road to Hana. And so we did that. And if you're not familiar with it, it's on the side of Hawaii where they get the trade winds, which creates all kinds of rain. And so it's essentially a rainforest. Where we were staying on the other side of the island, on the leeward side, there's not as much rain. It's drier. It's very much different over there. But on the road to Hana, you're essentially driving up and down the side of a volcano in a rainforest. And the roads are winding, and they warn you about that. And it's like you're driving like this. You gotta pay attention to the road. And there are two road signs, essentially, on the road to Hana. One does this. And one does this. Same. There's going to be a switchback coming up, and you're just going to do a hairpin turn as you either go up the side of the volcano or back down toward the ocean. And it's going to be a harrowing trip, and you must pay attention to the road. All sorts of wonderful things are happening around you. The ocean on this side, this beautiful volcano on that side, and all this vegetation and the flowers and everything, and Lisa's enjoying it all. And I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this, and my knuckles are white, and I'm breathing hard. The stress level's high. Sorry? You were gracious. There were so many distractions, so many wonderful things that could have taken my mind off of what I needed to do. But the most important thing for me to do in that moment was to make sure I didn't kill my wife and myself on the way up and down that mountain. And so I stayed locked on the road. I followed the directions, and when the roadside said it's going to do this, I did that. When it said it was going to do this, I did that. And we made it to the top. We made it to the end. We made it to Hana. And it hit me. The key, the very key to following directions is to be about something that is so important, that is so critical that you accomplish it, that you must pay attention. It's a requirement to pay attention. It is life or death that you pay attention. And so, if we're going to follow directions, let us be about the business of doing things that are important, life-saving and life-giving. There is an author from Nashville who puts it this way. Her name is Ann Patchett. Maybe you've read some of her books. She's written 7 novels and lots of other things, and she is an award-winning writer. And she says she is often asked, what is the secret to writing a novel? And she said, simply, it is the ability to stay focused, admitting that I am incapable of multitasking, and we're all incapable of multitasking. A lot of people will say, I'm all about multitasking. It is impossible. She says, in order to write a novel, I have to show up fully present and concentrate on one thing. And then she says, it turns out that this is also the secret to being in a successful relationship and being a good parent and being a good friend. And I would add, it's also necessary in following Jesus. To do that one thing, to focus on the priority. But it's not easy to follow directions, any kind of direction. We just don't generally have that kind of attention span. We don't have that kind of commitment. We have so many distractions, even important distractions, important stuff to do that pull us off course. But thanks be to God, we can look to Jesus who set his face for Jerusalem with both hands firmly gripping the wheel until he got there. And yes, he did. He diverted from that course to heal and to cast out demons, and to teach and to preach, but he always kept in mind that focus, his direction, because when he set his compass point, that compass point was set on the cross. Jesus was moving toward Jerusalem and the cross and his death and his resurrection and our salvation and his presence with us now. Thanks be to God that while we find it difficult to follow directions, that Jesus had the commitment. Jesus saw it as a life or death situation. Jesus stayed the course. Jesus made it to Jerusalem. He accomplished what he was set out to do. And so the question is, if Jesus can set his face on Jerusalem, can we set our faces on Jesus? It's hard. He sets the bar very, very high. It's difficult. But let me say this. If you can't do it now, maybe I can do it for you for now. If I can't do it now, maybe you can do it for me now and stay focused on the mission, stay focused on the directions. And if you can't do it now, maybe you can do it for that person, and that's what the church is. Maintaining that focus on Jesus. And thanks be to God that Jesus set his eyes on Jerusalem and accomplished his goal for our sake. Would you pray with me from the 42nd Psalm and repeat after me? Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know.
Be still.
Be.